Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Good morning. It's a brand new day. Time to get to work.
I have a problem with a bathroom door.
We have been plagued with fruit flies.
I have a question that you've probably answered dozens of times.
Hey, there are no silly questions on this show. Remember, we may not have it all together.
You know, the buttons are mixed up here.
But together, we have it all.
I build houses. I don't push buttons.
Well, most of the time. Here's your host, taking your calls live right here, right now. Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
It's a big job just getting by with 9 kids and a wife.
Good morning.
I've been working, man, dang near all my life.
House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. How are y'all? Happy New Year. Welcome to 2021. I think if any of us have ever waited for the clock to turn, it's never been with more anticipation than this year. So welcome into a brand new show and a brand new year. And our phone number is exactly the same, 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. How can I help you this morning? All you have to do is pick up the phone and give us a call. Good morning, Lindsay, and Happy New Year to you.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Did you have a nice New Year?
I did. I made it up until 1:30 a.m. Can you believe it?
Wow.
What? I know.
Wait, did you fall asleep and then wake up and then?
No.
Is that how it worked?
No. So my husband and I, we took out our old Guitar Hero game.
Sure.
The Wii.
That's what you do every year?
No. We haven't done it in forever. And we did not stop until our eyes were literally crossing and burning and couldn't play anymore. It was so fun. We had a great time. Mm-hmm. What did you guys do?
We did not play Guitar Hero. I was in bed by 11 because, you know, our son, Quinn, he was actually with his future in-laws in Florida. They have a home there. And so in my mindset, it was, well, it's already midnight on the East Coast, so I'm going to go to sleep. See how I justified that?
So that makes sense.
Yeah. And actually, some of my children who had to work on New Year's Day couldn't stay up that late, so they spent the New Year's with us, so that was very nice. And Joe and Don, how about you guys? Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Lou.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. How about you guys? Anything fun?
Yeah, just some good food. Just good food, good company on New Year's Day. New Year's Eve, I did kind of the same thing as you guys. I kind of hung at home and
right.
Just watched some TV and was asleep at like 12:05.
This is the first year I can remember that I was asleep at the midnight countdown. Hey,
wow,
stinks getting old. Yeah,
that's what happens when you're old.
You two guys are getting long in the tooth over there. You guys gotta.
I like the East Coast little workaround that you found, Lou, because I kind of I think about that. Like you're like, you know, the ball dropped already over there. Like
like in Australia, you know, it's tomorrow. Already.
Yeah, what are we waiting for? it's arbitrary.
Hey, before we get too far into our conversations, though, I do want to congratulate Orion Samuelson on his final broadcast right before we got on the air this morning. And, you know, you think about 60 years here at WGN Radio, and I heard Bob Ferguson off air saying, you know, you got to wrap it up, in 2 minutes, you know, 60 years of wrapping it up with his last hour show. On a personal note, I've had the opportunity to work with Orion for many years on a bunch of different projects, I am just amazed and impressed, and it's a testament to anybody that wants to get into broadcasting that if you work hard and you treat people right and you have talent, which he definitely does, you will have a very long career if you continue to do the work. So congratulations to Orion. Please enjoy your retirement. We'll get through this pandemic so you can celebrate with your friends and family, which I know they absolutely want to do with you as well. So hear, hear. Big cheers to Orion on 60 years here at WGN Radio. Our phone number is 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. So if you have anything I can help you with, I know it's early, But you can pick up the phone and give us a call. Say hi to Lindsay. She will be happy to take that call. We'll put you on hold and then start our conversation. 877-213-4LOU. And then, of course, with the first of the year, there's a lot of New Year's resolutions that people have and things that you want to do and change about your life, whether it's, you know, I'm going to lose some weight or I'm going to get organized. Well, speaking of getting organized, we're going to have a conversation with a company that does just that, that's been around for over 30 years, and they can sort of help you, and we've got some good tips on how to get started. You know, one of the things that our guest talked about, and I've always mentioned this whenever you're doing any kind of project, it can be overwhelming, right? Because you look at something really huge and you're like, oh, how can I ever get going on this thing? You just have to start. And you have to start small, right? With one specific thing. And so that's part of the advice that our guest had and trying to get organized and, you know, little things. I'm sure, Lindsay, prior to having children, and I have been to your home many times, and you have a lovely home that's very well put together, and I'll walk in and you'll be like, oh my God, this place is a mess, because you have two young girls and there'll be toys all over the place. But you also have to accept a little bit of where your life is, right, and how it all works out, and not be so obsessed with the mess. You got to let stuff happen.
Yeah. Oh, no. I need help.
Right, but even what your obsession is of saying that it's too messy, the point I was making was to go into your home, it's not, you know, by any other realm of, you know, someone else's home, perhaps.
I know. It just gives, you know, it's just agreed. So I, in my perception, though, it is, and I do, but it's very overwhelming at the same time. So right. I am interested to hear the interview. Just, I mean,
super knowledgeable. Before, yeah, it's really
one
good.
One room at a time.
One room at a time. Start small and different tips on that, on how to get organized. So anyway, that'll be coming up a little bit later on this morning here on House Smarts Radio. So our phone number is 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. And we are on a little bit longer, so we can certainly help you out this morning any way we possibly can. So I'll give you that number one more time, 877-213-4LOU. So it's time for us to take a little bit of a break. So you're listening to House Smarts Radio, and we'll be back right after this.
Hey, I hear you. Sometimes it's tough to keep up with what Lou's talking about.
Okay, but the diatomaceous earth, you can actually use that in gardens.
I want you to buy a product called Concrobium Mold Control.
Concrobium.
Well, let me tell you, sometimes he has a hard time keeping up with us, too.
You listen to Lou Dandini on Smart Radio.
Come on, Lou, keep up. What he said. You're listening to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4LOU is our phone number. I'm getting notes from Lindsay. I love that rejoin, though. Let's get to your phone calls. This is Mike in Pearl River, New York. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Lou. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, sir. How may I help you?
I have a bronze toothbrush holder, and no matter how I try to clean it, it's staying, you know, greenish and whatever. I can never get the stains out. I'm just wondering if you had a solution for that.
Have you tried naval jelly?
No.
Were you in the Navy?
I was in the Navy.
Really? They never had you use naval jelly? You never hung off the side of a ship and, like, scraped the side of the ship?
I scraped it on the O2 level, not on the...
I had friends of mine who were in the Navy, and they said, you do a lot of scraping of paint when you're in the Navy.
You do.
Well, thank you for your service, but there's a product you can find at the hardware store called Naval Jelly, and it has a consistency of, like jelly, it really does. If you apply this, what I would do, Mike, is wear a pair of gloves, like rubber gloves or so, just because it'll discolor your hands a little bit and then get in between your fingernails. It drives me crazy, and it's got a kind of a weird texture to it. Put it all over the bronze. Let it sit there for about, I don't know, 10 minutes maybe. And then if you have a like a plastic scrubbing pad. Something that is, it has a texture to it, but I don't want it to be super aggressive. Then just with your hands work it. Now, a toothbrush holder is going to be tough because you've got nooks and crannies probably on the underside. If you've got an old toothbrush maybe even, that could work as well. And then scrub it, and then rinse it. Take a look and see what how well of a job you did. And if you got to go back over with the navel jelly again, that should work, and it'll be cleaned up. It's a terrific product for that kind of project.
Okay, I'll give it a shot.
You're a good man. Thank you. Happy New Year to you. You know, and let's stay positive, right? Can only get better from here.
I guess so, hopefully. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks again. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Jim in Fox Lake. Hey, Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Lou.
How are you? Hey, Jim, hold on one second. You know what? I'm going to send you out a House Smarts radio hat sponsored by Cobblestone Remodeling, Chicagoland's premier design build company for kitchens, baths, additions, siding, and windows. Maybe you're working remotely, don't have enough room? Let Cobblestone Remodeling create the ideal workspace for your home. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com or call 773-661-0606. How may I help you, sir?
I'm getting ready to sell my property, my house, and I've got two stubborn areas to try and clean up and make look good.
Okay.
One is a ring around the drain in the sink, the bathroom sink, and also a ring in the toilet at the water level. How do I get rid of these things?
Like a rust ring, right?
Well, they're not rust, Lou. They're darker. The one in the sink appears to be a rust color. The one in the toilet is more dark, more on the black side.
All right. Are both of the fixtures white?
Yes.
Okay.
Basically.
This is good. All right. I want you to go buy a bottle of Wink toilet bowl cleaner, W-H-I-N-K. And I want you to also have a little, I just talked to that gentleman from New York about a plastic Scotch-Brite pad. This product, Wink, is an amazing stain remover for toilets and even sink basins and things like that. The spray bottle, when you take the top off of it, Jim, it's got a little hole in it so you can squeeze it. It's like a squeeze bottle. You know, it doesn't pour out. And you're going to, right at the top, like in the toilet portion of it, what would really be nice is if you could, before you use it, take a quart saucepan that you use in this, or something like that. Scoop a little bit of water out of the toilet, so we lower the water level or flush it a little bit, but I don't want it to flush all the way. Does that make sense? And then I want you to squirt, wearing rubber gloves, squirt at the top of the rim of the toilet, kind of go around it with this Wink product to allow it to kind of come down and dissolve. You're going to wait a couple minutes, then with the Scotch or with the scrubbing pad, the plastic scrubbing pad, squirt it one more time, and then scrub along that stain line on the toilet. That absolutely should get rid of that stain. You're going to do the same thing with the sink basin, and it will bring that back to life. You probably only need one little bottle. It probably holds a pint, and you don't have to overdo it with it, but it's a very powerful cleaner. Follow the instructions on the bottle, and it will really do a nice job for you.
Can I get this at that hardware store that starts with an A?
You can get that at that hardware store that starts with an A. Yes, you can. It's actually a product that just got bought by Rust-Oleum a couple years ago. So it's very readily available. It's been around for a long time, and it works really well.
And it's called Wink, like Wink. Winking your eye.
Like winking your eye. And it's in a brown, kind of a brown, nondescript bottle.
The store will know what I'm looking for when I ask them.
100%.
Okay. stoked. I appreciate that.
Have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. Let's talk to, is it Glinda? Glinda? Hi, Glinda. You're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you.
How may I help you?
My question is, we have a home that's 11 years old. All the flooring throughout, bedrooms, everything, is travertine stone. And we had it professionally cleaned a couple times, and it looks like it was never cleaned. So we need somebody who is an expert on perhaps a dry clean is what was brought up once. A wet clean does not work.
Hmm. When you say it doesn't look clean, so it's a travertine that's not... it's not filled in.
Is it filled in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a lot of times with travertine, you know, there's little pockets in it. Are all those filled with grout as well?
No.
They're open.
And the grout and the depressions are dirty. They look dirty. I don't know.
No. But my point is that when typically with a travertine floor, they'll grout the entire floor, and so those little pockets where the stone is, that's filled with grout. That is, or it's not.
It is not.
I understand that. But now let's talk about the surface of the tile. If I take my fingernails across and I drag it, those little pockets, like could I pour a little liquid in there, or would it just sit on top of the stone?
You could pour liquid in it, and okay. it would hold it.
Okay. So the problem is there, it's not, the dry cleaning isn't going to do you any good. You got to get in that to clean all that, and it's got to be scrubbed literally by hand. Now,
okay.
Are we staying in the house for a long time?
We hope so.
Okay. If it were me, I would get it cleaned, but then I would have somebody regrout the entire floor, and I would fill those pockets because I used to install a lot of travertine when I was building homes, and designers would love to keep the pockets open because they said it looks great. And I'm like, okay, it looks great, but then I got a lady like Glinda who can't stand how dirty it is, and this is a huge problem. And so they can come in and scrub it by hand. Have you heard me talk about a company called Executive Green Carpet Cleaning?
Okay.
They do the cleaning, but then we need a tile person, or a tile company, to come in and regrout the whole thing. You'll still get the look of the floor. You'll still see the fissures in there, especially if you choose a little bit of a lighter grout. And it'll look beautiful, but it'll be so much easier for you to clean. I promise you it really will. Thanks so much for the phone call.
Now back to your host, your handyman hero, Lou Manfredini in House Smarts Radio.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man.
Welcome back. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. 877-213-4-LOU.
A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16
Welcome back.
Tons. What do you get? Another day older and...
Let's talk to Bob, who's in New Jersey. Hey, Bob.
I can go. Hi, Lou. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, sir. How may I help you?
Okay. I had a master bath renovation done about a year ago, and he put a recessed light in above the shower, and the ceiling is like a cathedral-type ceiling. It goes up on an angle.
Okay.
And I noticed about a month ago... like a brownish streak about 6 inches below the recessed light and about 14 inches wide starting to appear below that light. So I'm just wondering whether or not it's like some kind of condensation or dew from the shower that's hitting that can of the recessed light.
The light, Bob, the light that you have there, it has a lens, that, right, covering it, or do you see the bulb?
No, it's like an LED, you know.
So
light,
it is.
Know, so you really...
You can't see it.
No.
Okay. My guess is, and when did we get this work done?
This, about a year ago.
Yeah.
It was completed in December.
Okay. So those LED lights, those trim kits on it, especially in a shower, if they're using one, have a little, like a foam gasket on the back side of that can light. And my guess is you're getting a little humidity, moisture that's, you know, permeating up there. Weather's cold. It condenses. And then that's where you're getting... That's where you're getting the streaking. Can you easily get up there to wipe it off, or no?
Yes, if I take a sponge and wet it a little and then wipe it,
it comes off.
Brownish streak, yeah, it comes off.
Okay, so do you have the confidence to take that light trim off?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
I'm not sure, you know, they're different, right, in how they anchor. Some of them, some trim, LED trims actually screw in like a light bulb. They have a shaft in the center and then a threaded male end that kind of goes in and then it just slides in. Others, you grab the fixture itself, the trim, and you pull it down and there's two little springs on either side. My guess it's the latter. You'll pull that off. And then unplug the fixture. There'll be a plug there. And then look at that backside where the filter is, like that gasket. And I guess my bet is when you take that off and you look at where the ceiling is now, you'll see some staining around there. Clean that up. And maybe even if you bought some self-stick rubber weather stripping at the hardware store, they make it in white and brown, okay? There's a brand called, if you go to Ace, there's a brand called Mecklenburg Duncan, okay? And it'll be there. You'll see that there's like two ribs. They look, they're like two long ribs that you can peel apart, and it's very pliable. You'll clean the backside of the fixture, peel away the protective paper on the adhesive, and then just carefully wrap around the fixture with this rubber gasket in white. Okay, so now it's not going to discolor or grab any moisture. And if you do a nice job and you take your time, press it in place, it will hold. Put that back up in there, and I bet you solved the problem.
Okay, that sounds great.
This is your New Year's. Right. This is your New Year's project.
Okay, I will get on it.
You got it. Happy New Year! I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. This is Paul in White Plains. Hey, Paul. Good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. Good morning. Yeah, I have a 6x6 foot bathroom. Ceiling is about 8.5 feet high. I have an exhaust fan in the middle of the room, but the duct run to the outside is about 12 feet.
Mm.
I was wondering, the shower head is about a foot away from two outside walls, so it's in a corner of the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if, and I think I said the fan is in the ceiling right now,
mm-hmm.
Is it okay to put the fan on the wall as high up the wall as I could get? Would that be all right? And which would make the run to the outside like almost nothing.
100%. Yeah, you absolutely. The fan doesn't care if it's vertical or horizontal. That your biggest challenge there is that run, that really long run. 12
yeah.
feet is the kind of the top at how far you just don't get the kind of volume of air moving because it has to push so hard to get out. And especially, you know, the minute you put a 90 on there or maybe another 90, it reduces the exhaust, you know, the CFM by something like 25% or something like that. So
you said a 90, you mean angle?
An angle. Like, yeah, if you come out, you know, depending on where the fan is, that pipe is. You know, if it's a straight shot, 12 feet, you're probably okay. But even that's right at they don't want you to put more of a 12-foot run on most exhaust fans. You have to up the size. But if you up the size of the fan, you also need to up the size of the exhaust pipe, right?
Uh-huh.
So in other words, if you're using a 4-inch fan duct, you know, which is typical, and all of a sudden you throw in a 300 CFM fan, you'd have to reduce it, and it just won't do anything, right? You need the pipe to be bigger. But if you have the space on the wall to be able to turn that fan up there, and you said how big is the bathroom?
About six feet by six feet.
Yeah.
Okay. Give or take a few inches.
So we're not, you know, it's not a giant space. And if you put something in there that was like 150 CFMs or so, the biggest issue with fans is the noise, right? And what you're going to look at when you're looking at these fans, you know, one of the leading manufacturers here in the U.S. is Brohn. They've been making fans forever. And you'll see that they'll give you a rating of the CFM, okay? For something like that, 150 CFMs would be my recommendation. But you'll also see something called the sone level, S-O-N-E. The higher that number, the noisier the fan. And I would not do anything higher than a 3. And even a 3 kind of sounds like, in my opinion, it's sort of like a hairdryer on low.
Yeah.
Right? And so if you go to 2.0, there's a huge difference in my hearing between a 2.5 and a 3. And so when you're looking at these fans, whether you're going to the home center or the hardware store, even looking online, you're looking for something that is 2.5 or lower. And they cost a little more, obviously, when you get that, you know, because the motor technology is a little bit different.
All right, so 2.5 or lower zones.
Sone. S-O-N-E.
Right. Okay, sone, which is has to do with the noise of the fan.
Correct.
No higher than 2.5 or lower. Okay, so you're saying there's really no problem with putting it in the ceiling then?
No, or on the wall.
No,
none whatsoever.
On the wall.
I mean, if you're old enough to remember. Back in the day when they started putting exhaust fans in kitchens, remember the old silver circle that used to be in the wall, like up high, sort of near where the stove was? I mean, it's the same thing, right? So it would it'd suck all the grease on the wall. Now, that's a kitchen. You're not going to do that in a bathroom, but you'd constantly be cleaning the walls.
Right. Well, that's what I have, actually, in my house, and I grew up with that. Yeah, you're right. Right.
Yeah,
right.
Same thing.
So, speaking of that, this fan in here now is at least about 15 years old.
Yep.
And it's kind of like dirty inside because, you know, it's sucking out everything, grease, dirt, you name it. I'm wondering if it's recommended to change that fan every so often.
Well, it's recommended to clean it. The thing is that you, especially if you've got a lot of dirt and debris up there, at least you know the fan is trying its hardest to get rid of all that. But if you 15 years or so, these things are made pretty well, and you think about how often they run, until you start hearing them chatter and making rattling noises, or maybe, you know, a lot of times what happens with older fans, you turn them on and they start slow, and then you hear them kind of speed up. That's really the telltale sign. A lot of these fans, depending on the manufacturer, that the guts and the motor and everything, those can be replaced. It's typically one screw, and it plugs into the housing. You unplug it, you can pull that out, and you can buy a new motor assembly for way less than the whole fan. But what you're asking to do is really more about the efficiency of the unit, and by shortening that run and putting it up high in the wall, you're going to get a remarkable upgrade in the performance of that fan, especially if you choose the right CFM and the right sone level for the sound.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini. Here he is now on House Smarts Radio.
Like a fool, I went and stayed too long. I'm wondering if you love
this will wake you up. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. You know, one of the things that happened over the holidays, Joe Brand and Lindsay, was one evening, my kids were all together. You know, we were all together except for my oldest son, Quinn. And I don't know what we had for dinner that night, but everybody woke up and they had these crazy dreams. Has that ever happened to you where you wake up and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I had these crazy dreams?
Probably at least once every 2 weeks.
Really? So that happens a lot?
Yeah.
Okay. So I am not a dreamer. Not at all, right? So they were these fantastic dreams that, like, my daughter Mallory's like, this was my daughter Mallory's dream. It was something like she was flying on an airplane with Ed Sheeran. And they, and while they were in the air, Ed Sheeran needed to go to the bathroom, and so they landed the plane. And then the plane took off, and she said, "We forgot Ed," and then the plane crashed. That, and then she woke up. That was her dream, right? So I'm like, wow, that's a crazy dream. And then my wife had some crazy dream. I can't quite remember. But so here's the thing. I had a dream. I had two crazy dreams, or one crazy dream, that same night. But this is the difference of my dreams and my crazy family's dream. Like Joe, can you describe a crazy dream maybe that you've had?
It's kind of like your daughter's, and it only because it brought it up into my head. But yeah, I had once a dream that I was in a plane as a passenger, and I had to help fly the plane. And we're going like over a forest. We're just a few feet over the forest, like the top of the trees. And then I helped land the plane through the trees to like ease the fall. It was scary. It was nerve-wracking.
He's like a young Orion Samuelson flying his own plane.
We'll see.
Right? Right? So my dream, you know, so my wife describes this crazy dream. Mallory has this crazy dream. Joe just described it. Mine was like somebody was asking me a question. So what is it that you or your wife do that you just, in other words, that your wife always does and you don't? You know what I mean? Like
I do.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so this is my answer. I go, you know what my wife always does? She always sets up the coffee the night before. Like, I never set up the coffee. Like, and then the person said, what percentage of time would you say that your wife does that? And I go, probably 99% of the time.
Wait, this is your dream?
This is my dream. Wait for it. Wait for it. So then the person says to me, like I'm being interviewed on like a stage or something, right? Then it is, and what is it that you do all the time that your wife really doesn't do? And I go, well, I do the dishes. And they're like, what percentage of the time? I go, probably 95% of the time. And then I woke up.
You've got crazy dreams.
Chores. Conversations about chores.
And I'm
dreams.
Not smoking anything. I'm telling you. It's right?
Secondhand. That sounds like some secondhand.
I was walking by Don, and that's what happened. No, anyway. I'm not saying anything, Don. Nope.
Oh, that's all right. I'm unoffended.
Well, Lou, you're living the dream, so you don't.
I am living the dream.
Oh, there you go.
Very good.
Nice. Nice.
Now, wait, really quick. Do you remember that dream, Lou, that I was describing to you? We were driving into the station. Maybe. Wait. I think it was before. It was right before, you know, the Ireland
debacle
trip. But before it was canceled, and we were driving into the station, and I was describing it. I can't remember what the dream was, but it was some crazy, and you're like, you've got to look that up. And so you're driving along, and I'm looking up on Googling dream meanings, and it said something like, a trip that is in your future will be postponed or something.
No way.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
It was the weirdest thing. Because, I don't know what they're talking about.
Have you guys ever had a lucid dream? Have you guys had the dream where you can kind of control things a little bit? I had one years ago that I remember. It was wild. I was like in a roller coaster in the desert, but it had little gaps in the track, and I had to jump the car so that the roller coaster would keep going. And after the first time, I could do it. And then it was like I could fly in the dream. And that was like 15 years ago. And I think of that dream all the time. It's like, man, I wish I could get back there.
Yeah, that's cool. Wow. I was just thinking if I were going to go back in that dream again and they would say, hey, if you're ever driving in a car with your producer, like going to a remote or something like that, what is one thing that you never do? If they asked me that, I would be like, when we're driving together, I never talk.
This is rude.
877-213-4LOU is our phone number. 877-213-4568. I'm just a good listener. That's what it is. I'm a good listener. Let's go to Wisconsin and talk with Amy, who's on the line. Hi, Amy. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi.
Hi. Good morning. How may I help you?
I'm asking for the best options to add in-floor heating to a basement finished basement slab in a forced air heat home.
Ooh. The best option, because the best option's not going to be inexpensive.
I'm sure nothing's inexpensive, but it's terrible in the lower level.
Got it. Okay, there is a hydronic system that can be put down, and basically what it is, it's a panelized system that clicks together that creates this raceway on the floor for then the heating and cooling people to come in and put the tubes down. You're going to need a separate boiler and or on-demand water heater, because that can be used for this as well. And then you're going to, and they either have a version of it where you can put plywood over the top of it and then carpet it, or they pour a lightweight concrete on it called gypcrete, and then you could put something like, well, if you did the plywood, you could do something like an engineered floor, like a luxury vinyl floor, which would be a good thing, but you're going to lose about an inch and a quarter, inch and a half from the, you know, you're going to raise that floor up a little bit. And where that's going to, where that'll come into play, I don't know how tall your basement is, but is you're going to have to do some adjusting by the stairs. So talk to a heating and cooling person about putting in a tube system on top of that floor. And one of the companies that make that panelized system is called Schluter, S-C-H-L-U-T-T-E-R. And then they can put the heating system right on the top of that. Thanks so much for the phone call.
Have a question for Lou?
Well, I've got a problem from that cold snap we had. My heater went out.
Now's the time to call.
I have a 20-year-old granite countertop, and I was just wondering how I would deal with it.
Lou Manfredini's taking your calls live right here.
And that laminate floor is going to shine like the top of the Chrysler building.
And right now on House Smarts Radio.
Well, I'm working on a building.
Welcome back.
It's a true foundation. I'm holding up the brush.
877-213-4-LOU. That's me. Happy New Year, everybody. 877-213-4568.
I'm going up to heaven, oh, Lord, to get my reward.
Let's go back to the phone lines.
I'm working on a building.
This is Haleen. Hi, Haleen. You're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling from Winfield.
How can I help you?
And I live in a town... I live in a townhome, which is only about 6 years old.
Okay.
And I got a mouse in the house. It's in the walls.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on the landing. We noticed we got carpeting on the landing, and this is where you don't got, what do you call that, the extra piece of molding, because it's
the
carpeting.
The shoe molding?
The shoe molding, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's because it's carpeting, there's no shoe molding. However, we noticed a little hole in the carpet, and that hole got bigger. And by golly, we think it's a mouse.
Okay, so we think that the mouse is... So here's what we need to do. On that staircase, on that landing that you're speaking about, is there an outside wall there, or is that your neighbor's wall?
It's my neighbor's wall. We're all like glued together.
Okay. I know some people don't like this, but in order to grab this mouse, you need to put like a trap on the outside of that hole, if that's the place that they're coming in and out of. Now, do you have any pets?
No pets.
Okay. So you've got a couple of...
Right now we got steel. We have steel wool, you know, shoved in it to keep...
But all you're doing is you're keeping the mouse in, and then the mouse is looking for a way to get out of there. So we need to draw the mouse... We need to draw the mouse out, and we need to trap the mouse.
Okay.
And so one of the most... I know this is up to you. There are humane traps that you can use that you can actually... trap that the mouse will go in, and then you can then take it to a field if you want. Again, this is your choice. I'm just offering choices.
Okay.
Or you can use a glue trap, which is a very effective way to trap a mouse.
Okay.
Put it right by that hole.
All right.
Put it right by that hole. Put a little bit of they typically come with a couple pieces of peanuts that are kind of cracked on top of it. But if you can put a little dollop of peanut butter right in the center, don't touch the glue trap because they're super sticky. I mean super sticky.
Okay.
And you'll trap the mouse, and then you can get rid of it, and it'll work. But then once that's done, Then you can patch that hole. And then also, you know, they could be coming from the neighbor if it's a common wall. If you have an outside wall, make sure there's no cracks or openings or holes on the outside that you perhaps could fill with some caulking or some expandable foam, even in the winter, to keep them out. Because they're just looking to come inside where it's warm, and you just want to get rid of them. So it's up to you what you do. 877-2134-LOU is the number. This is Judy, who's in New York. Hey, Judy, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio. Judy? Hello, Judy? Oh, hold on a second. My phone. There's Judy. Hey, Judy.
Hi, good morning. I have a problem. I just bought a house in Chapin, New York, and I went into the basement yesterday, and I noticed a rodent. I think it was a rat. Can you recommend something to get rid of them?
Ooh, it's rat and mice. We just got off with a mouse issue. If it's a rodent down inside there in the basement, then you've got a couple of ways to go here. I would, if on the outside of the home, do you have any pets at all?
No, I don't.
Okay. On the outside of the home, I want you to go where that basement is and see if you see any cracks or holes or loose siding that potentially a rodent could come in and come out of. And if you see if you see that, I don't want you to patch it just yet. I want you to use some bait on the outside of that area. On the inside, in the basement, I want you to buy a product called Bonide Rat Magic. Okay? And this
Bonide?
Bonide, B-O-N-I-D-E.
Yes.
Rat Magic. It's a repellent.
Okay.
It's a repellent that you're going to use on the inside. And you're either going to sprinkle it. They have one that's in a bottle that's a sprinkle, or they have ones that are little sachets that you open up and you put in on the floor in the corners. They don't like the smell of this. You won't mind it, but they don't. The whole idea is that I want to repel the rodent out of the basement, out of whatever hole it came out of, and right out there you're going to have a food source for it, like some, you know, this a bait that you're going to have. They're going to eat that bait, and then you have a better chance of them expiring away from the house than in the house. And another little trick is you want to, if you see that hole, stick a little newspaper in there loosely, not anything big. If you see the newspaper come out, that means they're coming in and out of that area. And then put the newspaper back, see if they eat the bait. And then when you don't see the newspaper falling out anymore, you got rid of the rat. And then you can seal it up permanently and not have a problem whatsoever. Thanks so much for the phone call.
You know what is a really amazing thing is modern plumbing.
You never know what you're going to get on this show.
I'm sitting on the couch, and Max had some friends over, and we have a powder room on the first floor, and this young man like, oh, Mr. Manfredini, where's your bathroom? Well, it's right through the door there.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini.
Young man goes in there, and so then I start thinking about modern plumbing.
He's always thinking.
And I'm thinking to myself, we really take modern plumbing for granted.
Outside the Lou.
This kid probably really regretted asking.
No. I didn't.
Do you have any idea how lucky you are?
Yeah.
And you, too, are the lucky ones, because he's taking your calls right here, right
Modern
now.
Modern plumbing is something to marvel at.
Now back to Lou.
You walk into a bathroom right now, and it doesn't smell. I do.
Right.
I do.
Right here on House Smarts Radio.
It's amazing. Welcome back. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. Here's to a year of your plumbing not stinking. You know, we did a little thing with the Tushy bidet, you know, installed, and which I installed it. It's a do-it-yourself bidet that is pretty affordable, and I installed it in the bathroom when Mallory was home that she uses, and she loves it, and she goes, "Oh, it's a little surprising." But they have their version of the squatty potty,
mm-hmm.
right? Which they call an ottoman.
Sure.
And
kick your feet
up. Classier.
It's classier. Don, right? See, Don knows. I mean, you know, it's a squatty potty. Mm-hmm. That's gross.
Yeah.
But if you say, try to use the bathroom ottoman, right? It sounds more
please.
Immediately uplifting.
Right.
Right. Well, yeah. And it even has, it's actually even very attractive. It's got little bamboo legs on it. It's actually nice. Very, oh and it tucks God. Under the toilet.
Oh, that's great. That is a nice feature.
Is there a nice throw pillow for it, too?
Yeah, a comforter.
Maybe.
Coming.
They have a whole line of products. The only thing that I need to, you know, caution you is that the website, I believe, is is what? Get Tushy?
No, hello. Hello, Tushy.
HelloTushy.com.
So
you're very
risky.
Deliberate of where you're going on that website.
HelloTushy.com.
HelloTushy.com.
Don't go anywhere else.
Very easy to install, and so far, so good. I have not used it, but I'm a big fan of the bidet.
It'll wake you right up.
What? Hello. Good morning. Hello. Maybe that's where they got it from when the guy's like, hello.
Hello.
Wow, this thing really works. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. This is Terry in Chicago. Hi, Terry.
How you doing, Lou?
I'm doing great. Happy New Year. How may I help you?
I'm cleaning up my kitchen cabinets, and I'm looking to see if you can recommend a product that can cut through the kind of the waxy, built-up gook that's around the corners from where the hands touch.
These
you know,
are
there's no handles on.
These are like a stained wood cabinet or painted?
No, they're stained.
Okay.
So I'm looking not to paint them, and I don't want to replace them. They're not that bad.
Sure.
I just need something that can kind of cut through the.
I got the perfect thing for you.
Awesome.
I want you to take the handles off of the cabinets because this is going to make your life a lot easier. Then I want you to buy a couple of containers of a product called Howard's Restore a Finish.
Howard's
Restore
a Finish. Okay.
And you're going to buy a package of quadruple zero steel wool. Okay, the more zeros, the finer the steel wool. And then a container, like a plastic container, that you can pour, and you're going to need some rubber gloves, too. And you're going to pour the Howard's into the container. Now, they make it in a neutral, but they also make it with a little bit of a shading, which if you wanted to, you may get the best results if you buy the one that is the closest shade to your cabinets. So, like, if it's a dark oak or a medium oak, or they've got a, you know, they've got a couple different shades. So then, what you're going to do is put a drop cloth on the countertop. With the, you're going to put the steel wool into the container and wring it out like you're putting it in there like a sponge. And then it's going to be damp with the grain. You're going to go with gentle pressure, not super aggressive, but with the grain of the cabinet doors and around the framing where you get the grease and the touching and whatnot. You literally are going to rejuvenate these cabinets and then take a clean, have a several clean cotton rags that you don't care about, you know, maybe an old beach towel that you cut up because you're going to throw this away. And you're going to wipe all this down after you're done, and you will be ready to be amazed when you get done with the first cabinet.
Awesome.
Now, one other thing. This is an important thing. This is a petroleum-based product, so it's flammable. You need to be ventilated when you're using it. Those rags that you're using to wipe this material down, don't just throw in the garbage can because they could spontaneously combust. So the trick there is in a bucket, and this is true of any kind of petroleum-based product that you use for refinishing. If you take a bucket and you fill it with water and then soak these things, so take all those rags when you're done in a bucket and fill it with water and then leave them in there until they're soaking wet, and then you can dump the bucket and the damp rags you can then throw away. But don't just throw them in the garbage can. If they pile up, that can cause a fire.
Gotcha.
All right.
Okay, one quick question. The last time I did this, I used a product. It was some sort of a degreaser, and maybe it was too aggressive. I know I didn't put too much pressure on it, but anyhow, it kind of dried out the wood a little bit. So to bring back the wood, I put like a mineral oil on there to kind of bring back some luster.
Yeah.
Is that something I'm going to need with this product, or do you think that was a good idea? Or
well, this product, especially with the one with the coloring to it, will help will help to bring back some of the, I don't know that it'll bring back the luster, but it'll bring back the color. And when you're done, you know, if you look like, wow, it's not quite as, you know, maybe not quite as shiny as I want it to be, you could wipe it down really well, and then you could go with a little polyurethane over the top of it with a foam brush. But,
oh, okay.
But see how it does with the Howard's first, and I think you'll be impressed.
Okay.
You'll be impressed.
Do I need to go to a special retailer in order to find that? Or?
Good Ace Hardware Store is going to have that in stock.
Awesome. Great. Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your help.
You got it. Thanks so much for calling. 877-2134-LOU is our phone number. This is Bill. Hey, Bill, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Well, after I win the lottery tonight, I'm planning on building a house.
First of all, let me be the first one to say, Bill, congratulations. It couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Wait, I appreciate that, Lou. what happened was I have a nephew who had a plumbing problem, and I was in the Ace Hardware in Spring Valley, and they told me it was a venting. He had no vents. So the guy didn't want to run a vent all the way through the roof. And so he turned me on to mechanical vents.
Okay.
And I was wondering, in new construction, can you use mechanical vents instead of going through all the PVC up through the roof and everything?
It's not allowed in every plumbing code, okay? So you can only use it in certain places. So mechanical vents many times can be used if you have an island, and you can either do what's called a loop vent, and or you can do a mechanical vent, which is, you know, it's basically like a little stopper that opens and that opens and closes. So it's really driven by... it's driven by the local codes on what they'll allow. Now, a mechanical vent for the entire plumbing system in a home? No. I mean, look, the fact that you're going to win the lottery, you could make the plumbing pipes out of bronze if you want, right? That's great. You can afford it.
I hear you, yeah.
But those main vents need to go all the way up so that you really get the, performance out of the whole system. But mechanical vents, if they're allowed by code, like in the city of Chicago, you can't do it. They want what's called a loop vent. But other suburbs do allow them. And, again, it's driven by the local building department.
I was just concerned about the longevity, if they last.
Yeah, I haven't really seen an issue with them failing. I mean, yes, it is mechanical, but it's more of a spring loaded thing. And, you know, is it possible that they could fail? Sure. But I doubt very much that would happen long term. So that wouldn't be something I would worry about, but they're really designed for more of a specialty application than they are to run an entire home. Thanks so much for the phone call. I appreciate it. Okay, you're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about organizing your home. And I think that for a lot of us, the new year is when we do that. So don't go away. More House Smarts Radio when we come back. Welcome back to House Smarts Radio. Lou Manfredini here with you. Okay, with 2020 behind us, it's time to get organized. I think for a lot of us, you know, when it comes to New Year's resolutions, there are a lot of different things that we want to do. But one of the things I know for many of us, it's like, I got to get rid of all this clutter. I got to figure out how to get more organized in my life. I figured we'd talk to a professional. Monica Friel is the president and owner of Chaos to Order. Monica, good morning and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Tell me a little bit about yourself and your company and what it is you folks try to do.
Okay. So I was born to organize. It's just a passion in my life. And so 30 years ago, I turned it into a business, and I started Chaos to Order, and it has been just a delight. We've worked with thousands of people in and around the Chicagoland area, and for the most part, we've had clients around the country that we've brought their chaos to order and helped them, whether it's unpacking after a move or getting organized after the holidays or setting up e-working and learning spaces for them, whatever it is, so that they can feel more comfortable and decluttered in their house.
When you mentioned the fact that you were born to organize, were you one of those people 30 years ago where, oh, just get Monica to come over and help you with that closet and you would just help people? Is that what it was?
Yes, it started out as just helping friends and family. And 1990 was a long time ago, but if you remember, we were in a recession back then.
Yep.
And I lost the company I worked for, went out of business, and I thought, well, I was, you know, kind of new out of college, and I thought, well, what am I going to do now? And I thought, all I really like to do is rearrange space, reorganize my drawers or my kitchen or my garage. And so I was doing it for friends and family anyways and decided that maybe I could help other people by doing it. It's become my career.
I love that because I have a one of my daughters, Carmen, is that person. She loves to reorganize, and it's always like, just have Carmen come over. She'll thin everything out, and she'll make sure that everything looks good. Okay. And I love that you turned this into a career, which is amazing. So you've been doing this a very long time, and I know that for a lot of people, being organized or decluttering can be, in many cases, almost an emotional experience, right? Because a lot of us want to hang on to things. What are some of the challenges that you've seen over the years that you've helped people overcome?
Yeah, so I think the first thing that really stifles people from getting through an organizing project, you know, they live in a space where they're unhappy, you know, it's cluttered and it kind of pulls them down and they're overwhelmed by it all. It's just too much stuff and they don't know where to begin and they don't know how to start and they're busy people with busy lives and don't have the time and or energy to do it. And that's where, you know, really, encouraging them and inspiring them and showing them how to break things down. Don't look at that whole house, that whole room, even that whole space. You know, pull out a drawer or a cabinet or focus on a tiny shelf and then, you know, weed out, get rid of what you don't want, donate, sell, whatever that's going to be. And then, you know, redo that space and it will inspire you to do other spaces like that. So when you get one little space that you really like, that's kind of going to fuel you to keep moving into other spaces.
Is it all about, kind of taking a look at what you have and really what it is you need and or use, but also in finding a home for those things? In other words, you know, we're going to start to see all kinds of commercials about, you know, companies that will come in and we're going to reorganize your closets and we're going to build all this kind of stuff and life's going to be great. But if you don't implement it and put it to use, I mean, it's really not worth it, in my opinion.
That's so true, Lou. It really is. You can, you know, go and buy boxes and containers that will clutter up your whole basement with just empty containers, and we see it all the time. And what it's really about is going through your stuff and getting rid of those things that you're just not using. You know, be ruthless. Have you used it in the past year? Have you worn it in the past season? If not, there's probably someone out there who would appreciate it, whether it's someone in your family you can give it to or a friend. Or, you know, there's all kinds of resources online, places, you know, where you can donate things, you can sell things, but don't have it, you know, real estate is expensive, you know that. Don't let, you know, those insignificant items that aren't important to you, taking up your space, really love your space.
You sort of touched on that a little bit. Do you have sort of a rule of thumb that you share with your clients? Like when you go in, you know, I'm sure that you've had projects where it's just been almost daunting, but are there like tried and true things that you will say to clients or people that hire you to say, all right, you mentioned, hey, if I didn't wear it this last season, you know, why do you have it? Is there a time frame when you're looking at different things? Maybe clothing is a place to start. What are some rules there?
Yeah. So if you haven't worn it in the last season, the chances of you wearing it in the next same season, it drops significantly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we wear 80% of, you know, 20% of our clothes 80% of the time. So, you know, to just, you know, continually look through what are you wearing, what are you not wearing, and, you know, working with excess if it's, you know, keeping it handy and close by. But, yeah, to really be thorough about, you know, what you're wearing, what you're using, what you're holding on to. We tend to hold on to way too much, and that's one of the best things that we help people with is that weed out and, you know, get rid of process, because we hold on to too much. So, yeah, if you haven't worn it in the last season, if it's in your garage, if you haven't used it in the last, you know, season, you know, whether it's a tool or something, the chances of you using it again are, they just are much less.
Right,
so
right.
So we really encourage to just get rid of what you're not using.
Well, and you mentioned the fact that there are now so many organizations that help to take that from you, right? Whether it's Goodwill or the Salvation Army. And these people can take that, Restore from Habitat for Humanity, that they're willing to take that mm-hmm. and either sell it or repurpose it some way where, I mean, I know for us, we do a lot of stuff with Goodwill, my wife and I, and it kind of brings you some satisfaction to know that, man, someone can use this and that, you know, not, to use one of your contemporaries, it brings us joy.
Right.
Right?
I love that. Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Right.
And why not have, you know, we're spending so much time at home. Why not have only what you really love in your home with you? For sure.
I would imagine, of course, as I mentioned at the beginning, that this is the time when really people start to look at it and go, oh, my gosh, I've got to do something. You mentioned right at the top the fact that don't be overwhelmed by the whole house, room by room. What room do you think people should start in?
Well, we always suggest to our clients, you know, everybody's situation is different, but we suggest you start, if you're really motivated, especially with the, you know, the beginning of a new year and you really want to get organized and, you know, those New Year's resolutions can peter out quickly. So we suggest you start in the toughest spot. You know, when we send an organizer into your home, we always suggest send us where you really feel like you could use our services the most. So if that's sitting at your desk in your office and you're piled under papers, then let's start with those papers. Right. If it's at the bottom of your closet where you can't find what you're looking for, then let's start in your closet. So it really depends on what is causing you the most pain. You know, you go to the doctor, what do you talk about first? You talk about, you know, where it hurts, what's bothering you the most.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we like to start.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have a theme for 2021 with your company. What is that?
We do. Our theme for 2021 is to reclaim your space. We're at home, we're working, playing, living, eating, sleeping, vacationing, everything inside the walls of our home.
Yeah.
So we want to help people reclaim that space as you do and make it a space that you enjoy being in. And really decluttering and getting rid of just some of that stuff that weighs you down can make an incredible difference in how much you appreciate your surroundings.
Mm-hmm. We're still in the throes, obviously, of this pandemic. I would imagine that mm-hmm. your work has had to have adapted a little bit. Are you doing virtual
yes.
consultations?
Yes, we are doing virtual consultations, and in some cases we are, you know, we shuttered down during the, you know, the shutdown for a couple of months and started back doing some virtual. And now we've actually gone in with masks mm. and, you know, our PPE, and we gear up and we, you know, kind of do a whole thing before we meet with a client. But, you know, we're trying to get in there and still help people.
Great advice. Monica, if people want to get a hold of you and maybe have a consultation, whether it's in person or a virtual one, how do they get a hold of you folks?
Yeah, they can find us at chaostoorder.com online, and you can also call our phone, is 847-825-8400. And, we offer tips and ideas all the time on social media, on, you know, Facebook and Twitter, just tips on helping you stay organized, whether you're a client and you work with us or, you know, just anybody that could use some organizing tips. We're happy to share them.
Great information. Thank you so much. Monica Friel, president and owner of Chaos to Order. If you'd like to reach them and maybe need a little help, go to their website, chaostoorder.com. Thank you so much for taking some time this morning. Happy New Year to you.
Thanks, Lou. It was a pleasure speaking with you. Happy New Year.
You too. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. Welcome back, Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio, 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. The decluttering and the organizing thing is a pretty interesting topic because I know we can all do that. And if you have not, this is not a commercial for Goodwill,
But they have really perfected the whole COVID donation thing. A lot of the Goodwills now have a drive-up where you can just come in and put the stuff in your trunk, and you pop the trunk, and there's a nice person there with a mask and a cart, and they open it up, and you say, take the three bags or whatever, and if you want a receipt, you can go there. And they put it to really good use, and it's a great way to get started. Start small, one small room at a time, and it really can make a huge difference. 877-2134-LOU is the number. This is Randy in Chicago. Randy, good morning.
Good morning, Lou.
How may I help you, sir?
Thanks for taking my call. I live in a two-story house, the second floor full bathroom, and with a first floor powder room. I am getting occasional sewer smell on the in the first floor powder room, and recently noticed a little bit of water dripping alongside the main stack in the basement, on the basement floor. Now, recently, the second floor sink was clogged, and that's been rotted, and it's running properly. My concern is that there might have either been some damage to the pipe, or just the fact that it's an old steel pipe and maybe it's, you know, seen better days. The house was built in 1949, so the plumbing is, you know, 70 years old.
That main stack that you're speaking of, when you look in the basement, is it, to the best of your knowledge, is it cast iron or is it galvanized?
Looks like cast iron. Okay. It was painted. It looks like cast iron.
Okay. And this odor that you're describing that's coming from the powder room, you can kind of trace that to when the sink was rotted, it began after that?
It almost seems like it's two separate problems. I can't correlate the two.
Okay. All right. Well, the fact that you're seeing a little bit of water dripping down there, I mean, with the cast iron, you know, there's parts that fit together, and then they use a little what's called coking, and they lead those joints together. It is certainly possible that those joints over time can loosen up when you're talking 70 years. It's also possible that if they rotted this line and they, you know, took the drain assembly apart on the sink and then put a rod down in there, that, you know, the cast iron is brittle. Though it's strong, it is possible that it got poked a hole in it or something like that where you could get some of this sewer gas coming through there. I think that probably the best way to determine this is that a plumber could come with a sewer camera, and I'm assuming down in your basement area, maybe you have a clean out that can be opened up, because they can either go from the bottom up with the camera and kind of inspect as they go up, or they can come back down, you know, from the vent on top to see if in fact there is a breach in the line. Now, what they can't see with the camera is if there's some breach on the coking on the outside where the sleeve fits into the other lower pipe. They may see some evidence there, but if they do find it, they're going to have to open up the wall to make this repair.
Okay, so when you said from the top, you're talking about the vent stack on the roof?
Correct. They could either come down from the top, or, you know, there's another method where they would go up on the roof, cap that, and then they would smoke it. They would fill it with smoke, basically, and pressurize it and see where all of a sudden we get the smoke. Right? That's another way to do it. But the camera, so the camera could see if there's a hole that got poked in it, and maybe it's the type of thing that you talk to the plumber about putting a camera in there or possibly smoking it. Because, as I mentioned, if the breach is on the outside, then the meaning that where the sleeves fit together, they may not see that with the camera on the inside. The only way they're going to determine that is if they smoke it and fill it, and then all of a sudden be like, yeah, I can smell the smoke in the powder room. Here it is right here, you know, which it obviously rises. But, you know, it's a process. You need This would be something, if you hear me talk about, and you hear on the radio station, these plumbers911.com, these are the plumbers that have a lot of experience with this kind of stuff. It is not an inexpensive proposition as far as getting it done, but you're not going to want to live with, you're not going to want to live with this, you know, odor coming from the powder room area. And it is something that if it's properly done, you can get it fixed. And so then we don't have a problem. If you got to open up the wall and then do a little patching when you're all said and done, that's fine. But you will also, by using that camera, see the integrity of the piping as well to see if, you know, if you have to go any further with the repair.
Good morning. You've got your radio tuned in to Lou Manfredini. Now back to your host right here on House Smarts Radio.
I don't need a whole lot of money.
We were talking off the air. Welcome back. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Happy New Year. We were talking off of the air, Lindsay and I, and we realized that we have to say happy anniversary to Joe and Allie Brand, who, if our memory serves us right, got married a year ago, 2 days from now?
You got it. Monday.
And Lindsay said, if you would have told me that wedding was 3 years ago, I would have believed it.
Right. Wild.
Happy anniversary,
right,
though.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah, we snuck it right in, and we can't count our stars, our lucky stars, enough for being able to get it right before all of this.
I mean, it was crazy. That was not even on anyone's mind. We were in this beautiful venue. What was the name of that place?
Wow, why am I drawing a blank right now? Lacuna Lofts.
It was
Lofts.
Like a warehouse.
Lacuna Lofts, yeah.
It was a warehouse.
Very cool.
So cool, and it was like this really cool place where you had the cocktails, and then it. You know what, Joe? I've been to a lot of weddings, and I have to tell you, this is the God honest truth. That was a room full of love. You could feel it. It was palpable. And I have to say, I don't know if I've ever said this on the air, and I hope you don't mind me sharing this, but you and your wife, you were married at that point. When we walked in, you had a table set up with photographs on the table, which I thought was the sweetest, most wonderful thing. I had never seen that before. And would you be willing to describe that?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, we did talk about this last year, shortly after the wedding. It was called the Wish You Were Here table. So it was full of pictures of loved ones that we had lost, and you know, just kind of a way to somewhat physically have them there with their image, with their remembrance. But the one cool little extra touch that we did was we tried to find pictures of all of them in suits and dresses, whether it be their wedding or a different wedding. So it was like they were still dressed up for the event too.
Mm.
Yeah, it was very cool. That was so my sweet. Mother-in-law's doing. She did a great job with that.
It was so sweet. Well, happy anniversary.
Yes.
What do? You eat the, don't you save the cake or something?
You know what? That's the one thing I still have a complaint about. We had, you know, the sharing of the cake right at the beginning.
Yes.
That's the only wedding cake I ever saw that entire day. Like, we smashed it into each other's mouths, and then isn't somebody supposed to cut a slice and save it for you? And we never got that. Never.
I thought it was
that.
The top. Wasn't it the top of the cake you're supposed
something.
To save?
Like, I know we had a small cake. Not everyone was going to get it. There was a dessert table, but, I mean, there was so much taste testing and what kind of cake you're going to get, and we had one handful, and that was it. But, no, it was...
Maybe what you do is get those Pillsbury Doughboy croissants or something, and you make one of those. And,
yeah, we'll make monkey bread or something.
There you go.
Well, happy anniversary to you and your lovely bride.
Thank you.
And your sweet new addition, Pinkerton. What a
who's that?
Sweet name. Joe sent me a picture of his cat the other day.
Oh.
And I love the name Pinkerton. I thought that was the funniest.
It's not Pinkerton.
Oh, what is it?
We adopted a one-eyed cat. And
a one-eyed cat, that's what it was.
And its name is Plankton.
I'm pretty sure it corrected itself to Pinkerton.
Oh, okay.
I like Pinkerton better.
Plankton, like from SpongeBob, because he has one eye.
Wait a minute. Maybe I was drinking.
Yeah.
Because I got to look back at my
And the thing is, when she's drinking, she has one eye. She like kind of looks like a pirate. She's going, I think her name is Pinkerton.
Hysterical.
Well, yeah, because you said Pinkerton, and I thought you got auto-corrected. So.
Oh, no. Well, going forward, Pinkerton it is. For me, anyway.
I like Plankton.
Well, that is very cute. Good. I get it. That's now.
Meow. 877-213-4, Lou. 877-213-4568 is our number. This is Elise, who's in Hoffman Estates. Hi, Elise.
Hi, good morning.
How may I help you?
Yes. I have a laundry room that's 7 feet by 10 feet, and I purchased a Samsung a dryer about 9 months ago, and I've noticed that I'm having a ceiling issue. There's like moisture up there, and I recently had a contractor repair the ceiling. And after he repaired the ceiling, now I ran the dryer, and I still happen to look up, and it looks like that moisture is starting all over again. So I don't know what's caused. I think it's the dryer that's causing it.
Okay, you bought new appliances. You have a new washer and dryer.
Right.
And the dryer is a gas dryer, electric dryer?
Electric.
And is it vented outside?
Yes.
You're positive?
The vent is on the lower roof.
The vent is on the lower roof. Okay. And is it tucked inside a cabinet, or is it just freestanding? Like, could you look behind the dryer?
I could look behind the dryer. Yeah.
I mean, my guess, if you think it's the dryer. Okay, maybe the connection point where the elbow is, or the pipe that's on the back of that dryer, is not connected. And so now when you run that dryer, you're pumping some, you know, the moist air as the dryer is doing its job into that room. Do you notice when you go into that room, is the laundry room, does it have a door?
Yes, it has two doors.
Okay, so is it a closet, or is it a room?
No, it's a room.
Okay.
It's a L-sized room.
Okay. If the door is closed and you run the dryer, when you walk in there, do you get hit with like, wow, it's really humid in here?
No, but it's kind of cool in there.
Kind of cool in there. Okay. All right. Let's double check that. And one other question. The ceiling of the laundry room, is that a roof? Is it an attic? Is it a second floor above there?
Above. There is a room above it, but I think it's only like half of it. There's a room above it.
Okay. Okay. And so a couple things that I would double check. Make sure that the unit is connected properly to the hose that goes into that wall. If you see that it's disconnected, well, that could be the easy solve, that you need to pull that out and reconnect it and put it back in there. The other thing is you want to make sure that pipe is free and clear. It's not kinked anywhere that is causing some back pressure. If that's all connected and you're running the dryer, especially because it's cold now, go outside. You said there's a roof vent that it's connected to, and see if you see steam pumping out of that thing when it's running. Okay, so that's a good sign.
I do.
You do. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, those are all good signs. The room that's up above, if there's a moisture issue, and you said it only goes halfway, there could be a flashing issue where that wall meets the roof, that you're getting some snow melt, or you know, when it rains, you're getting a little bit of leaking there, and it could just be a correlation between the, you know, the installation of the new dryer versus where the leaking's coming from. So these are some things you need to kind of check and check off your list. A, first, make sure that everything's connected properly. B, maybe have someone come and look at the flashing where those walls and everything meet, that there's no breach there. That isn't causing it to leak and getting that moisture in there. If you get it all cleaned up and painted and it keeps coming back, my guess is it's more of a flashing issue, especially if it's just in one spot that's causing this problem, as opposed to a problem with the dryer. Thanks so much for the phone call. Our phone number is 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. But right now, It's time to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
Thanks, Lou. Well, it's no surprise, Shiloh Cabinetry is a favorite of the designers at Builder Supply Outlet, and the most popular with Tom's customers. Family-owned since 1977, Shiloh offers an array of styles to customize the look you want. Pick from frameless, modern styles to rustic, even contemporary. With a variety of wood finishes, make it your own with Sherman Williams paint color or an assortment of stains and paint glazes. Yep. Super customizable without the custom price. Another reason to see what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
Mm-hmm. Hey, is your furnace showing, a little bit of its age? You know, if it's its 15-year birthday, it might be time to replace it before it breaks down in the middle of the night. Dykstra Home Services, they have a Carrier 98% efficient Infinity gas furnace on sale. 0% financing with up to 72 months. Don't start the new year off with a broken down furnace. Call Dykstra Home Services today for a free in-home estimate. 1-800-421-3220. 800-421-3220. Or visit DykstraHomeServices.com.
That seems like a lot.
Look, there are three kinds of pipe. There's the kind of pipe you have, which is garbage. Then there's rock, which is pretty good. Unless something goes wrong. And something always goes wrong. And then it's cut, which is the only pipe I use. It costs money.
Now back to Lou Manfredini.
It costs money because it saves money.
And House Smarts Radio.
I fell into a burning ring of fire.
Welcome back.
I went down, 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 and the flames went higher.
877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568.
The ring of fire.
Louise is on the line. Hi, Louise.
Hi, Lou.
Happy New Year.
How are you this morning?
I'm great.
Happy New Year to you. Well, I have a recumbent bike in my back bedroom, and it's denting in my carpet, and I'm wondering if
hold on. Say that again. You have what?
A recumbent bike.
Got it.
That's a low bike. Rather than sitting up, you sit closer to the floor.
Correct.
And push your feet out. And there are two bars. The one in the front, the bars are about 2 inches in diameter, and the one in the front is about 1 foot long, and the one in the back is about 2 feet long, and there's nothing in between. And it's making a dent in the carpet, and I was wondering if you might have a solution for that.
Yeah, I would get a, you can buy these pads, these rubber pads that are actually designed for exercise equipment. And they have like a little dovetail pattern on them where you hook them together. And so you can buy them in different lengths. We have a, what do you call it? An elliptical machine, and it's sitting on hardwood, but you don't want to damage the hardwood. This would work on carpeting as well. You buy them, you just measure the length of your recumbent bike, and then you put this together. There's end pieces that kind of, it's tapered all the way around. It looks really nice. And so the other nice thing about these pads is that if you're perspiring while you're working out, you can, you're not getting that on the carpet. You can wipe that down. With a disinfectant or any kind of cleaner. And it's the type of thing that you could easily find online. I don't know that many stores would carry something like this, but they're black, goes right on top of the carpeting. It'll kind of push everything down evenly that, if you occasionally want to move the bike and bring up the pad and vacuum it twice a year or something like that, it won't damage the carpeting. It'll bounce right back.
What's the best way to bring up dents in carpeting? Because even from chairs and things, you have dents and they seem to stay there forever.
Yeah, I mean, what I have always done is I've taken a stiff nylon brush, like a scrubbing brush, and just sort of gently kind of combed it and kind of pulled it up. You know what I mean? To just sort of make it spring back up.
Yes.
And that seems to work pretty well.
Thank you. And what are these pads called? How would I look them up?
It's like a rubber
exercise.
Rubber base pad for exercise equipment, something like that, and you'll find them.
Well, thank you very much. I'll look forward to doing that immediately.
You got it. Thank you so much. You know, I was just thinking about, I guess I didn't think about the term recumbent bicycle, you know, where you sit. I mean, that's not a, right? I didn't understand exactly.
I just went, okay.
You know how you, like, have you ever seen the people that ride those bikes, like, out in the street, where they sit on the bike and they pedal it? They're sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And their feet are out in front. And I've always wanted to try that. But I'm gonna offer you something as an observation. I want you, for the most part, when I see people on those bikes, I would say 90% of the time they're men. 90% of the time on recumbent bikes, they're men. And I'm gonna offer this too, and I want you to think about this over the next week. 90% of the time, it's a man with a beard.
Hmm. A lot of percentages this show.
Get back to me on that. I think I'm right about it, and you'll see that. We're like, wow, look, he's right. He is right. Look at that. It's a man, and he's got a beard. You know, 2021, it's the year of the beard. 877-213-4-LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Marty in Tinley Park. Hey, Marty, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call, and Happy New Year.
You too, sir. What's going on?
Well, my wife and I have a townhouse. At the end of the living room, there's a floor-to-ceiling fireplace that's brick. It's like a tannish light color mixed together brick. And we're thinking of painting our place, and I was wondering what your thoughts are about whitewashing brick.
Sure, you can do that. I'm personally not a fan of the whitewash look, but that's a personal preference for you. Just keep this in mind, whether you whitewash it or you paint it. Once you do that, you've got a painted surface. And, you know, just like the walls and whatnot, don't be surprised if, you know, a few years down the road, you get a little bit of peeling or whatever, that you have to, you know, go back and touch that up. How is it floor to ceiling with the brick?
Yeah, yes. If there's a hearth in the fireplace, which we had converted to gas, and above the fireplace, about a foot and a half, is a mantle, and then it goes all the way up to the ceiling.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it definitely will change the look if you don't want that tan. I mean, the thing is that with the whitewashing, you'll still have the hue of what you have now. You know what I mean? And so if you or your wife really wants a different color, or you want it to look different, you know, to kind of match what the rest you're doing, I would almost tell you to just paint it. Because you're going to have the same,
rather than whitewash.
Yeah, I mean, because then you'll get exactly what you want. And, you know, and then you'll have a painted surface that you have to deal with. You know what I mean? It's something that, that you'll have to pay attention to. And if you get a little peeling here or there, you'll go and touch it up. And the thing with the painting versus the whitewashing is it'll be way easier to touch up and blend in with a color as opposed to a whitewash, because the brick can absorb that stuff differently. Thanks so much for the phone call. All right. We need to take a quick break, and when we come back, we've got a new to Noodaloo 2 is at after 9 o'clock.
Yes,
right?
No, it's now. Yeah, no, I'm wrong. You're right.
Wait,
please
mark this tape. Say that again. Say it again.
One time deal.
We'll be right back.
This is a house that Jack built, y'all.
Now back to Lou Manfredini.
Remember this house.
Taking your calls right here on House Smarts Radio.
It was the dream of an upright man. There was a room that was filled with love. It was a love that I was proud of. This is the life that is planned.
Welcome back. We got some new products, some Noodaloo 2s for you in the coming year. And we're going to try each week to share with you some terrific new products that I think can make a world of difference in different parts of your life. And we're going to start it all out with a brand new Noodaloo 2 this week, sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. When you need a new ride, you need a new Chevy.
Previously, my New Year's resolution was going to be something like drink more water or eat less junk. But after doing my research on this week's Noodaloo 2 you're hearing right now, I think I'm switching it up to sit less, stand more. Did you know that too much sitting can slow your metabolism, increase your risk of type 2 diabetes for cardiovascular disease and early death, even if you regularly exercise? Well, this week's Noodaloo 2 is going to keep you moving around all while sitting. Wobble stool is a chair that naturally tilts and moves under your control, helping you stay active and productive at the home, office, or even belly up to the bar. Hey, no one's judging. Rather than sitting still on the wobble stool, you are always engaging, changing combinations of the leg, hip, and ab core muscles. It moves with you and allows you to tilt as far as you can manage while still stable, even swiveling 360 degrees. It was originally designed as a complement to standing desks, being tall enough to let virtually anyone perch near standing height and not go all the way down to normal sitting height. But whether you've got a standing desk or not, wobble stool's adjustable height and unique contoured bottom let you sit normally or quickly engage your core for an active sitting experience. Wobble stool goes for $99.99 on uncagedergonomics.com, and that price is actually less expensive than most ergonomic desk chairs, standing desks, and treadmill desks. It comes in red, black, and blue, so if you're looking to spruce up your home office this new year, take a look at Wobble stool. We think you're gonna like it. I'll put all this information up on Lou's Facebook page and Instagram.
That's this week's
If you're like the Manfredini family, the holidays are all about family and looking for post-holiday bargains. Well, if you're like us, your timing couldn't be better. The Chevy employee discount for everyone ends Monday, January 4th at your local Chevy dealer. The Chevy price you pay is the price you see and not a cent more. Right now, get over $8,400 in total savings on a 2020 Silverado Crew Cab LT All-Star Z71. That's big savings you don't want to miss. It's the perfect time to drive home in a Chevy Silverado. Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions, and with its four-wheel drive and traction control, you'll be driving in a Chicago winter wonderland no problem. It's available OnStar navigation, gets you anywhere you want to go in safety and comfort. Chevy Silverado, the most dependable, longest-lasting full-size pickup on the road. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details on the Chevy employee discount for everyone. But hurry, this all ends Monday. When they're gone, they're gone.
You're listening to Lou and House Smarts Radio.
Like, I'm asking 1,000 questions of the dentist. It's a lot like carpentry.
He's taking your calls about anything you've got going on around in your house.
Like, I think that had I thought this through, I could have done this as a career.
Yikes! Get that drill away from me. Back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back. 877-213-4-LOU. This is Joanne in Lake Zurich. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing great. How may I help you?
Couple of questions. Number one, we had a radon system put in our house when we moved in about 20 years ago, and it seems to be working fine. My question is, should that get tested every so many years just to make sure it is working okay, or is it one of those things that, you know, you don't have to worry too much about?
Well, I mean, it's not a bad idea. I mean, even just from a standpoint, I think that if it's on your mind, right, Joanne, we're like, eh, you know, I wonder if that thing really works. You could buy a home test kit and mm-hmm. test it yourself and just, you know, I don't know if you remember doing this, but, you know, there's those two little vials that you purchase at the hardware store. It's like $10 for the test and $40 for the lab analysis, and you put the vials out in two different spots. You know, you follow the instructions, and I believe you leave them there for 48 hours. Then you seal them up. They're kind of like, they almost look like small medicine bottles. And right. You put them in an envelope, and you ship them off. And then within a couple of weeks, you get a result. And if the readings come back normal, you're good to go. I mean, it's an exhaust fan, right, that's plugged in, and right. It's just running. And it's certainly possible that down the line that fan fails because it literally runs 24 hours, right? Mm-hmm. But really, it's the type of thing that if you're aware of it, You know, the thing is, it becomes ubiquitous, right? You don't really think about it, and so maybe you put in your calendar that every 6 months, just walk over next to the thing and make sure you hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay.
That's what I would do.
Sounds good. And then can I ask another quick question?
Of course.
You're always talking about houses settling. Well, we've got cracks upstairs against the ceiling and the wall where they meet in some of the bedrooms and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to get them fixed and then put up crown molding. Does that make sense to put up crown molding? Or is it, I mean, I know you say they always settle. Is that just going to be like a cosmetic thing and then the crack could show up and come out,
well,
you know, where you can see it?
Is the cracking is right where the ceiling meets the wall?
Correct.
And how old is your home?
I was built in 75, and 30, 40 years ago.
And these cracks, for the most part, when you look at them, they're pretty consistent. They haven't gotten really any bigger or smaller.
My husband's tried fixing them a couple of times, and they keep coming back.
Right, but when they come back, do they come back at the same level?
At the same place,
okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Your home, built in 75, do you happen to know if you have trusses in the roof?
I don't even know what this is.
In other words, can you get into the attic?
Yes.
Have you been in the attic?
No.
Okay.
My husband
trusses are like, you know, if you can imagine a big triangle, right, with the two upper angles and then the bottom cord coming across the bottom, which was your ceiling, and then there's like crisscross brackets. They're individual things that hold up the ceiling. The reason I bring that up is that It wouldn't surprise me in a home built when yours was built if trusses were used. There's this phenomenon called truss lift, where the trusses move up and down based on the heat and the temperatures and whatnot outside. And so that can happen. Now, if you're going to use the crown molding, you don't really need to patch the cracks. You could put the crown molding over the top of that. And what I would suggest you do, and I don't know if you're going to have someone do this or you're going to do it yourself, when you nail it to the wall and then you nail it to the ceiling, you're going to want to use a caulking that has a real good expansion and contraction elasticity in there, right? And so I'm assuming going to paint it. You don't want to just use painter's caulk. You want to use something that has more of a stretch. And so I would use something like a window and door caulking, which is also latex base, but it will ride the expansion and contraction better than a painter's caulk. And so you spend a little bit more with that. You caulk it all in there. Don't worry about fixing the cracks. That's cosmetic. Okay. You're going to cover that up with the crown molding and... Mm-hmm. You know, enjoy your crown molding. I love crown molding.
I know. So do I. Can't wait to get put up. Well, thank you so much for your help. I appreciate it, Lou.
You got to have a happy new year. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Maybe we take a quick call. Why don't we see if we can help Tom real quick, who's in Naperville. Hey, Tom.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Well, a while ago you had the gentleman who was going to win the lotto and build this new house.
Right.
And my question to you is, isn't there a plumbing method by which I think you'll set it at the furthest sink from your hot water heater so that you, as your hot, and I use the term loosely, hot water in your pipes starts cooling off, it can be recycled back down the cold so that you don't spend 5 gallons of water before you get hot water?
Yeah, so it's a hot water recirculating pipe, either a pump or during new construction, you can, what you do is you take that furthest fixture and coming off of the hot water line, you pipe a return line and you take it to the bottom of the water heater. So basically where the spigot is to drain it, they put a T on there, and then you pipe it down in there. And it's a gravity. The pipe has to be angled, but it uses physics to come down and gravity it back. There are also, there's something called a Watts pump that can be installed on a water heater, and there's a solenoid that goes at that furthest one. And what it does is it constantly pumps against the cold side. And this pump, you can put a timer on there on the top of your water heater, and it works amazingly well.
costs about $250. And so that you can do as a retrofit, no problem, and your furthest one away, and it's just a little electric pump that's pumping it, which is great.
It's Saturday morning,
right.
We're ready to get working.
Here we go.
That's right, you're tuned in to Lou.
Yes, I was just wondering, is this Mr. I'll Come Over and Help Spray, Prime, and Paint Your Wrought Iron Railing?
And How Smart's Radio.
No, that's coming up later on.
He may not be knocking on your door anytime soon, you know, social distancing, but he sure will help you now over these radio airwaves.
What time are you going
to
be here?
All you have to do is call. Here's your host, Lou Manfredini, and How Smart's Radio.
Hey, get a rhythm. When you get the blues, come on, get a rhythm.
Welcome back.
When you get the blues.
Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN.
Get gone, get a rhythm.
877-213-4-LOU.
When you get the blues. A little shoeshine boy, he never gets
more down. Before we get back to your phone calls, a hearty congratulations to a new addition, de facto to the WGN Radio family, John and Brenda, John Williams here on WGN Radio, and his lovely bride, Brenda, have a brand new granddaughter that was born just a couple days ago, and hopefully, I know he talked about it on the air, but she's a beautiful little girl, and I'll let him share the name. I don't want to give out too much personal information, but I know that I have friends of mine that just had their first grandchild a year ago in May, and it is ultimately just categorically changed their lives, and even our lives too, because we get to see this child as well, who is just the cutest thing in the world. So congratulations, John and Brenda, to your son and your daughter-in-law and the new baby girl. That's just awesome news. Just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So God bless. That's some good news we definitely need. So that's what we're hoping for in 2021. More good news. 877-213-4-LOU, 877-213-4568 is our phone number. This is Rick in Naperville. Hi, Rick.
Good morning, Lou. How you doing?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
We have a minor problem. In one of our bedrooms, we have a ceiling fan, and every so often, not very often, but very seldom, there's drops of water on the bedspread below the fan. And I'm wondering if it's condensation, because we had a new roof on a couple years ago, and this problem happened before the new roof, so we have a new roof now, so I don't think it's from the roof. I don't have my attic properly vented out. I think our bathroom fan just go into the attic. Could that be just condensation?
Yeah. I mean, that is not a good thing. You're adding all that moisture up into the attic space, and it could be, depending on where that ceiling fan is and the piping comes to. If that's exposed and you're dumping all that moisture up in there, that gets cold. The bedroom up at the ceiling is warmer than obviously at the floor, and it could be condensating. You know how you've got that on the ceiling fan? Does your ceiling fan have a drop rod? Does it hang on a drop rod, or is it flush to the ceiling?
No, it does not. No.
So it's
very close to the ceiling.
So it's got a metal housing there that could be trapping some moisture. Based on the cold air hitting the electrical pipe up in the attic. So really there's two things, Rick. You need to vent that fan out. And then if you go up into that attic space and you see that electrical piping that's exposed, you need to put insulation over the top of that.
Do you recommend anybody that does... I'm not a handyman at all. Do you recommend somebody that goes up in the attic and do the work?
It would be, well, so the venting part of it, you could probably get a heating and cooling company to do the venting, okay? That's really the most important aspect of all this. You're in Naperville. So there's a company out west there in Aurora called Perfect Home Services.
Okay.
And you could contact them to see if they'd be willing to do this work.
So basically, like you said, you think it's not properly vented because our house is 35 years old. So naturally, back then, I don't think they I'm pretty sure they didn't vent it out. They just
went
in the attic.
Here's the thing. A lot of builders cut a lot of corners back then. It was wrong to do back then, and it's wrong to do now. If it's just dumping up into the attic space, it's not a good move. You don't be surprised. is if they go up in there, they could find some, you know, evidence of mildew and mold. It could turn into Pandora's box. But you just dumping the exhaust from the bathroom up into the attic space is not a good thing. And so they either need to add an exterior lookout vent on a soffit or cut something into the roof that they can flash properly and then connect it at that point. That is absolutely job one first, and I bet that'll solve the problem.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I hope you have a good year. Happy New Year to you.
You too. Happy New Year as well. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. We'll take a quick break. This winter, as the frost level goes deeper into the ground, have you thought about your basement? If you've experienced cracks in the basement walls or floors, cracking on interior walls, sticking doors or windows, gaps under the baseboards or sagging floors, the expanding frozen soil might be pushing up against your foundation walls. It'll only make those problems get worse. That's when you need to contact PermaSeal Basement Systems by visiting permaseal.net. All too often, homeowners ignore these symptoms and then experience much bigger problems later on. A stitch in time really does save nine. You can rely on an honest, accurate evaluation from PermaSeal's trained experts, along with a permanent solution. For over 41 years, PermaSeal has been Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana's most trusted contractor for basement and foundation repairs. They've earned an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. For a free thorough inspection, call PermaSeal at 800-421-SEAL. That's 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. Our phone number is 877-213-4-LOU, 877-213-4568. Am I going to talk to Mary? Is that who I'm talking to? All right, let's talk to Mary, who is in Chicago. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great.
Happy New Year.
You too. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Ready for my problem?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I live in a building on the it's a three-story building. I'm on the third floor. It has radiant heat. So a plumber was in the building, and my door was open, and he saw that I have a programmable thermostat. And he said, those don't work with radiant heat. Is that true?
Well,
he said, you need the round one with the mercury inside.
No.
And it's freezing in there.
Yeah.
I forgot that part.
The mercury, first of all, nobody makes that anymore. They're all digital. The issue, so his point is this. Radiant heat is all about getting nice and warm, and then when it reaches its temperature, it shuts off, and then it goes. The old mercury round ones that they had, they were accurate within like 6 degrees. So, you know, they weren't super, you know, if you set it at 70, that mercury, that little spring in there, probably wouldn't start moving until it got down to like 67 or so, and then it would kick on. And then when it would run, it'd run longer, so it gets it nice and warm. Now, with your radiant heat, it's just a question of you have to give it enough time to get up to temperature. So in other words, do you use it now or you set it back at night?
No, I don't set it. It's freezing in there.
Right,
the only two warm spots are the bathroom floor, which is tile, and the kitchen floor. And sometimes during the winter, I sleep on the kitchen floor because it's nice and toasty.
Well,
but I'm going to get an electric blanket this year.
All right. Well, It is a new year. That's good. Okay. What is the flooring's all carpeting?
Yeah.
And what do you keep the thermostat at?
78.
78.
I think, or 78.
In the 70s. In the 70s. Okay. Let's make sure, Mary, that we eliminate as many drafts as we can in the house, you know, with windows and doors being tightly shut. And maybe what you do is you buy a separate mechanical thermostat at the hardware store for $10 or $12, put it in the center of the room, and see what the actual temperature in that room is. Because maybe you have a malfunctioning thermostat, even the programmable ones. It's not uncommon that they're, you know, I just did a project where I had to replace two different thermostats because they just didn't work, and it was some malfunction in the system.
So my point is we want to make sure that if you have the thing set at 75 degrees or 74 degrees, that in fact it is that temperature in that room. And if it's not, then maybe we have to replace the thermostat to another programmable thermostat. The thing is, with the electronic ones, they are accurate within 1 degree. So they, you know, that's where it should be. But you also need to eliminate all the drafts in that room and make sure that you're not fighting the system. With the radiant heat, you should be warmer than anybody because that heat is all in the floor and it's consistent coming up. And so I would start with that process, and I bet that if you do that, you'll be able to be much more comfortable inside that home. Thanks so much for the phone call. 877-2134-LOU. This is Vince, who's in Wheeling. Hi, Vince. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hello, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
I got a problem with what looks like brown sap leaking from the ceiling. I rent a house in the northwestern suburbs, and in May, they put a new roof on. About 4 or 5 weeks ago, we started getting this brown-looking sap dropping down in the living room. I got a hold to the landlord, and he told me that I need to buy a dehumidifier. Now, I thought that sounds like a bunch of hooey, but Lou would know what the heck's going on. So what's the deal here?
Is the home heated with hot forced air heat?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and do you know if it has a humidifier?
That I do not know. The house is in the Fox Lake area, so we get a lot of moisture during the summertime.
Right.
But as I said, this is you know, it's fall when it started happening, and it's winter now, and it's still happening, and my wife is not too happy because it's dripping all over the furniture.
Yeah, he says,
the landlord says that it has to do with the fact that we have a fish tank in the living room. We have a 30-gallon fish tank in the living room. I don't see how that has anything to do with this brown sap leaking from the ceiling.
Well, no, it could. So here's the thing, right? Your fish tank is a giant humidifier. And so that bubbling with that tank, you are constantly putting vapor into that room. And now if the attic or the ceiling above, even if it's insulated well, or it probably is insulated well, because now that moisture is hitting the ceiling, and that's where the brown spots are coming. It's probably just literally, you know, the ceiling's dirty, and that's what you're seeing because it's wet. The way to know if this, Vince, is a problem with the humidity, just like I mentioned that earlier caller, you know, you can buy a thermostat, a mechanical thermostat at the hardware store that's also a humidistat. There's two. It'll give you the temperature and the humidity level. It wouldn't surprise me if you put that in that room and all of a sudden you get a reading of 60%. This time of year... Go ahead.
But here's one thing. It's also happening in the kitchen. And a couple of days ago, the wife complained to me, now it's happening in the bathroom, where it never happened before.
Right, but that 30 gallons of tank, that is all circulating through the home. And when the temperature's colder, that's when you see the evidence of this. Have you noticed at all any moisture on the inside of the glass on the windows?
A little bit. Now, one quick question. Would this also leak on the outside? Because it's also leaking on the outside of a couple of windows on the house. Same brown-looking sap.
I mean, that wouldn't have an issue on the inside. I realize you don't want it to be the fish tank, but I think that that's the place that I would start. We need to eliminate step by step to find out what's going on. So if you buy that
dehumidifier.
Well, hold on. Before you get that far.
Okay.
Buy the humidistat at the hardware store before you buy a dehumidifier. Put it inside the center of the room. Give it 24 hours. If you have a reading over 40%, this time of year you should be at like 25 to 35. You're probably going to have a reading of like 60%, which is why you're getting this pull down. Then you probably need a small dehumidifier, which is kind of crazy in the winter. But the fact that you're trying to counteract what's going on with the fish tank will probably solve the problem. and then you can, you know, you can clean that all up. And by getting that humidity level down by doing the dehumidifier, I think you'll be able to solve the problem. Thanks so much for the phone call. 877-2134-LOU. This is Maria in Bensonville. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Happy New Year,
you
Lou.
Too,
how
you
are
too.
You?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Thank you. I'm having some problems in my house. I don't know too much about handyman, but I asked my cousin to go on the crawl space because I noticed between my kitchen and my dining room, it's very uneven. It's kind of uneven. So I wanted to see how the foundation down there is. And he told me, he's not a handyman, but he told me that he saw one of the bends, I think you call it, that holds the foundation, they kind of broken, and they I probably need some metal stuff. So I probably need a contractor, somebody that I was thinking, if you know somebody I can talk to or get quotations about the foundation down there on the crawl space.
So there is, down there, you're seeing a broken, is it a beam or is it a post? What is it that you're seeing that's not?
It's a beam. He said he noticed like a beam. He took pictures of it.
Okay.
But, he's not really, he said he saw a bin, a long bin, kind of, you know, holding, but it's made of wood. And he said that now in these days, they do metal.
Well, I mean, they, sure, in new construction, typically they'll do steel beams many times, but they'll also still do some wood, what they call engineered products for beams. The people that I would contact is the folks over at PermaSeal, because they do structural repairs. And what's nice about what's nice about this, Maria, is the estimates are free, right? They'll come out and take a look at it. Do you have a pen or a pencil?
Yes, go ahead.
All right, 800-421-SEAL, S-E-A-L.
Any specific person in particular?
Well, you call them. You call them, and it's, you know, you'll get their call center and tell them you talk to me. You need somebody from their structural department to come out and take a look at your basement because you think you have an issue with a support beam in the basement crawl, and they should be able to come out and take a look.
Okay. Now those can be very high, right? Any idea? Well. They have to see it.
I mean, you know, it's not going to be $50. I promise you that. It could be a few hundred dollars. It could be a few thousand dollars. It all depends on what kind of damage is there. But they will give you really good. They'll give you really good advice so that you get this done the right way. I promise you. Thanks so much for the phone call.
Over the years, much like a fine wine, people age and they gain their knowledge and expertise about their home as they live in it over time.
I have a pocket door that is off the track and I can't open or close it. Thank God it's open so I can get into the bathroom.
Others, like me, need people like Lou.
I got a flat roof that I want to extend the life of it.
Now back to your host, Lou Manfredini, taking your calls live about any questions you have about your home.
We got a cast iron sink and it has more scratches on it than I have wrinkles on my face.
Right here on House Smarts Radio.
I like the, you know, as we age. Do you see those Geico commercials, you know, where they got the guy who's trying to, when you turn into your parents and he's trying to teach you not to be the parents, right? Have you seen those, Joe, where they, you know, they like you see you have too many pillows on the couch and there's no place to sit down.
I'm having a big lunch and a small snack for dinner.
We're talking on a speakerphone at a store. Should we be doing that, right? Or there's a guy, and the guy's like, yeah, you're looking for a good grout brush. You know, it's like, he didn't ask you. He didn't, right? Like, all that. Well, now they have a new one. They have a new set of them from Geico, and they're all around a guy, and he's going to sit in a chair. Right, and when he goes to sit in the chair, as he sits down, I'm going to pull the chair up. If you can picture this, he goes to sit down and he goes, like he made that sound.
Yes.
And everybody's like, "No, no, no! Don't make that sound! Don't make that sound!"
Right. It is like the biggest signal.
Like you just spent the day carrying the rocks to build the pyramids, right? Like you were right. Yes. Like, oh, I got to sit down now.
Right. You just built a structure from natural materials. That's
oh,
your home.
Oh my gosh, that is like such good writing. It's oh,
yeah.
so.
I like
funny.
The guy who's waving at the vehicle in the parking lot. He's just right. like, yeah, keep it coming. It's like, dude, right. you don't know the guy.
And they even go so far as to wear the which is this is a terrible thing, but. If I ever start wearing the New Balance shoes that are white and really wide and chunky, that's when you quit. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah.
Should I not be wearing those?
Right. Well, it probably looks good on you, but a guy my age, when it's, I think they use it more for stability so you don't fall over because right. they're so wide.
It's or when you start calling shirts blouses.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, hey! It'll be your last week on the House Smarts Radio Show, that's for sure. Sit down. My brother-in-law Peter's always said, don't make the noise when you get up and down. Like, that's always in my head now when you're getting up. You don't want to make a grunting sound.
Right. So. It's like the biggest signal for old mandom if you make that noise. If you avoid it, you're not an old man.
You're not an old man, right. That's or to stay away from the giant New Balance shoes.
Yes.
No offense to New Balance. I'm sure they're fine and comfortable. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. Let's talk to David, who is in Chicago. Hi, David.
Hey, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing great. Happy New Year. How may I help you, sir?
Same to you. Thanks. Well, I'm having an issue with side jets on a shower. There's three of them, and kind of they come out of the side wall on the back.
A body spray? You mean body spray? Like a body spray?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And they were, when we moved into the house, one of them always worked really strong, and then the other two, the middle one worked strong, and then there's one above it and one below. They worked kind of a trickle, and so got motivated and decided I was going to, I could see that they looked pretty dirty. You know, it was a new house that we moved into,
mm-hmm.
or it wasn't new, but, and so took off the cover very easy with a Allen wrench. And then you could see that there was like a rubber gasket in there that was pretty clogged up. So cleaned mm-hmm. them, put it all back together, seemed pretty simple. Then turn it on and really none of the three worked out. So I did more harm than good, except I have clean shower jets now. any ideas on that?
Does the body spray have a separate mixer, meaning that it's got another handle that you turn on?
Correct, yes.
And is it a mixer or is it a cold and hot water that just controls the body spray?
It's a cold, it's one...
One handle control, turns them
but it
on.
Does go one handle, but it makes it colder or hotter depending on how much you turn it. It's almost just like a normal handle for a shower spray.
Okay.
Yeah.
When those are typically set up, and let me ask you one other thing. Are the body sprays set up, are they vertical, or is there like, if I'm standing there looking, I guess, at the main shower head, is there one pointing mm-hmm. at me and then two coming from the sides, like I'm in a car wash?
Nope, they're both, like, if you're standing looking at the front of the shower, they're vertical, both looking at you on top of each other.
There's so two there's of
one,
them?
Then
two of them, or
one.
Two or three?
Three total.
Three
total.
In total. Okay.
Yep.
When those are set up...
One's about head level. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say one's about head level, one's about mid-level, one's about, you know, thigh level.
Right. So when those are set up by a good plumber... It's there's like a balancing act based on where the piping comes in so that it spreads it out evenly. And so what I don't know, okay, let me ask you this. So I'm standing there, they're vertical. The mixing valve is where? Is the mixing valve in line with the middle head or is it off to the side? You know, where is it height-wise?
Sure. Yeah, it's off to the side of the middle head. So if you were looking at it, you would see, you know, if you're looking straight at it, at the middle, if you put out your right hand and went to the wall, it'd be right next to it there.
Okay. All right. What I would do to first see what's going on is I would remove all three of the heads. And when you do that, do you have a little bit of a pipe sticking out of the wall?
No. It's actually, it seemed pretty built in there. You know, it's like you could take the gasket off, the cover off easily, the gasket comes out easily, but then it looks like it's pretty much like a white, almost like a cassette that's just built into the wall
I
that
see.
It goes into, and okay. I knew enough not to mess with that.
All right. Well, how it should be is that there could be behind each one of those. Again, I'm. This is typically how this is set up, and so there is a like a regular shower head. There's a female fitting inside the wall under the tile, and there's a little bit of a pipe nipple that sticks out that whole assembly screws onto. And so your clog, because my guess is you probably don't use these body sprays that often, right? Or haven't in
Correct.
The past?
Mm-hmm.
And so they
Correct.
Do get corroded. Mm-hmm. They do build up because it's full of air and there's not a lot of water. And, you know, these body sprays are a lot like a jacuzzi tub. Everybody thinks it's a great idea. And when you first put them in, you think it's amazing. And you're like, oh, my gosh, these body sprays are amazing. I feel like I'm in, where's George Carlin? I'm in the movie Car Wash. And then you never use them again. And the same is with a jacuzzi tub. You put it in, and for like the first month, all you do is tell your friends how much you take a jacuzzi tub. And then the rest of your life, you complain about what a pain in the butt it is to clean it because you got to bend over and get inside the stupid thing. You need to have a plumber come, because it sounds like you're right at the cusp of your confidence. Take apart each one of those assemblies so that they can expose the pipe nipple that comes out of each one of those. Clean that all out. Replace all those replace those body sprays. You can probably salvage those and clean them up again, but it wouldn't surprise me if they came to you and said, you know, David, we got to replace these. We got to put new heads on there, which isn't the end of the world. But then at least you get it off your plate, and it's a great New Year project.
There you go. So, all right, that's pretty much where I landed. I heard your show this morning and figured I would give you a call, see if you agree. I will disagree with one thing. I agree with the bathtub jacuzzi, but those body sprays are pretty darn nice. We do use those. So.
I know. I mean, look at it. It's like you're getting a pressure wash every single day.
It's not a bad thing, for sure.
All right. I appreciate you calling. Thanks so much. 877-213-4LOU. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. If you're looking for a post-holiday deal, time is running out. The Chevy employee discount for everyone ends Monday, January 4th. How about that? The Chevy dealer, it's the Chevy price you pay is the price they pay and not a cent more. Right now, get $6,800 below MSRP on a 2020 Equinox Premier. Big money. And a Chevy Equinox comes with high-tech safety features and switchable all-wheel drive, keeping you protected in all types of weather, on the road or off. Safety has never been more important. That's why your Chevy dealer is keeping it clean with enhanced cleaning measures before delivering your vehicle after purchase or service. They're dedicated to a clean and safe dealership experience. Plus, if you need a new vehicle but you don't want to visit the dealership, well, check out Shop, Click, and Drive. Shop online, take delivery at home. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details on the Chevy employee discount for everyone. But hurry, it all ends Monday. And when they're gone, they're gone. No, I wanted this one.
You are listening to your big brother in the business. That's right, Lou Manfredini. And he's taking your calls live right here on House Smarts Radio.
Nothing wrong with a hard head.
I'm confused. I'll just pay attention. 877-213-4-LOU.
Hands of steel and cradle of the promised land.
Mary is in Highland Park. Hi, Mary.
God bless the world. Good morning, Lou.
How may I help you?
So, whenever I use my water, especially with the washing machine, I can hear this banging noise. And I called Apt, and they said it wasn't the washing machine, it was probably my pipes. And my son-in-law came over and they said that I didn't have to call a plumber. So my question is, what do you think?
Well, what did your son-in-law, what's your good-for-nothing son-in-law do?
Well, he took off some of the tiles, you know, that are easily... You can see them. And he, you know, felt them. Nothing was moving or jiggling. So we just can't figure out what it is. It's not the hot water heater because I just replaced that 3 years ago. It's not leaking or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I would do. Is that good for nothing? So I'm just kidding. I'm sure. What's that young man's name?
His name is Mark.
Mark. He's wonderful. Is he your favorite son-in-law?
Absolutely.
Is he your only son-in-law?
Yes.
Okay. Have Mark come back and shut off the main valve to your home. It's a single family home, correct?
Yeah, shut off main valve. Yes, it is.
Okay, so wherever it comes in from the street, he's going to shut that off. Then you're going to say, Mark, I need you to go open up every faucet in the house.
Open up all faucets.
The vanity faucet upstairs and the one downstairs, and then I need you to go flush all the toilets.
Flush toilets, okay.
All right, then turn all the valves off. Once the water stops coming out, turn all the valves off, and then slowly turn that main valve back. Oh, one other thing. On the washing machine, okay, I want you to, I want to have him, like you're going to start the washing machine. Because I want it to, like, try and get some water out of the pipes, but it won't.
Oh, okay. Start washing machine. After you turn off all these faucets,
As you're draining everything, like, along with flushing the toilets, go set the washing machine like you're going to try to get it to fill, but no water will come in.
Okay.
And then you'll reset it later, okay? The whole idea is I'm actually trying to get air into the system. And, and so then you're going to turn everything off, and then you're going to turn the main valve back on, okay? And then he's going to go and turn on the valves again, and it's going to spitter and, you know, make noises that you're not going to like. Have him go right to loosen the aerators to clean them all out, and then put them back. And I bet you'll
clean aerators.
Yeah, so where the faucet is, where the water comes out, you unscrew those aerators because they're going to be filled with sediment, and you're going to clean you're going to clean those out, and then I bet the problem is solved.
Very good. Well, thank you so much.
Happy New Year! I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-2134-Lou. Let's give our last caller here, Julia in Wheaton, a HouseSmarts radio hat sponsored by Cobblestone Remodeling, Chicagoland's premier design build company for kitchens, baths, additions, siding, and windows. If you're working remotely, you don't have enough room, let Cobblestone Remodeling create the ideal workspace in your home. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com or call 773-661-0606. Julia, how may I help you?
Hi, good morning, Lou. Happy New Year.
You too.
I'm calling for my daughter who's looking for houses in the Lansing, Michigan area, and she really loves one that has all PEX water supply lines instead of copper, and there seems to be like a lot of stuff online about them not being maybe leaching chemicals or something, so we're concerned a little bit.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of conspiracy theory about that. PEX plumbing has been around a very long time, and it's very popular in parts of the Michigan. It's used extensively Arizona, Tennessee, lots of places use PEX plumbing. And, you know, for every article you hear about how terrible it is, I can put another article in front of you and tell you that it's fine. And, you know, the same is, you know, copper, same thing. People will say that all about that. If it's done properly, and what's the age of the home that she's looking at, Julia?
It's new construction.
Yeah, you're fine. It's all modern stuff. I think that she shouldn't have a problem whatsoever. It's again, very commonly used product, and I wouldn't worry about it whatsoever.
Ah, all right. Well, that makes me feel better.
And then make sure when she buys that house, she invites you over, and you can help her decorate.
All right, I'll do that.
You got a happy New Year.
All right, thanks a lot.
I appreciate you calling this morning. I appreciate all of you listening. Yes?
Speaking of New Year's, I was going back last year. I was looking at a different what are your New Year's resolutions this year? Anything?
Me?
Yes.
To not wear a mask a year from now.
Oh, that is
How's
a good
that?
One.
So, I mean, that, you know, the thing is, I think that certainly this pandemic has taught us all that you can't really make a lot of grand plans, right? I was lucky enough the last couple of years to drop a lot of weight doing my Seattle Sutton healthy eating, and I've been pretty good about maintaining that even during the pandemic. I'm going to make sure that I continue that because I feel really good. And I think for a lot of people, when we talk about underlying health issues that go along with this pandemic, it's important. So if you're thinking about losing weight or getting on an exercise plan or doing that kind of stuff, make sure you do it. But, you know, not a, I want to stay the course and let's get through all this. That's what I want to do, is not get complacent about, you know, I'm a big science guy, so I want to follow the science and wear the mask and stay distant and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
what about you?
I was looking through some old audio from last year's New Year's for something else, but I did come across what your resolutions were last year, as well as my own. And yours was to stay more focused and focus on your family, and which clearly you spent a lot of time with your family this year or this past year. So good job. Mine was to cook more, which ironically I didn't do, but I did
eat
more.
You made a turkey.
I ate more. Oh, you're right. But
I ate more.
One. So I thought it was funny to hear back what we were thinking a year ago.
That is funny. That is funny. Well, I mean, we do. We need to stay the course and keep going. I am so appreciative for all of you listening here on House Smarts Radio and joining us every Saturday morning. And it's fun to work with you, Lindsay. It's fun to work with Joe and Don and Bob Ferguson, who does such a great job for us every Saturday morning. We'll be back next week starting at 6 a.m. That's the brand new time for House Smarts Radio from 6 to 10. And we look forward to being with you next week as well. Remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Go to House Smarts TV on YouTube. Lots of great content there. Have a great weekend, everybody. Happy New Year. You'll hear us next week right here.